Welcome to the program that reminds you of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We're going to be listening to wonderful music from Ron Hamilton, which I'll tell you more about in a minute. Let me pray, and let's be off to the races, as they say, as we listen to God being our refuge. Lord, bless us. Help us to learn about you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wandered through this world in selfishness and pride. The storms of life surrounded me. I had no place to hide until I heard the news. A refuge strong and sure was waiting then to welcome me and keep me there secure. You are my refuge, I hide in you. You are the hope I'm running to. Your words are faithful, your promise true. I hide in you. Dark clouds may fill the sky, but still I see the sun. God's love shines down upon His child, the overshadowed one. No matter what I feel, His promises are true, and I can trust Him even when the storm He takes me through. You are my refuge, I hide in you.
I hide in you.
know how terrible things happen, or we think they're terrible. Cancer, death, pain, and those are really difficult. But Ron Hamilton is a testimony of how God will use terrible incidents, terrible situations, and turn them in for his glory. Ron Hamilton created all this wonderful music, this kids program. He became Patch the Pirate in these audio adventures and has reached so many. He died a couple years ago, but his music, his testimony, his impact lives on. Let's listen to another song by Ron Hamilton, and then we will listen to him sharing his testimony of how God used him when his eye was taken from him.
Sin grips the heart within, a curse on fallen men. This pride and selfishness we hold inside. Though we were all condemned, we had a loving friend who came to save us. He lived a perfect life and gave the blind their sight. Fulfill the things foretold by prophecy. He humbly took his cross and died to save the lost. Their sins forgiven.
Their sins forgiven.
The greatest story ever told is of this Jesus. How he came to earth to
Ahoy, mates. Have you ever wondered how I became a pirate? When I was growing up, I dreamed of being somebody really dangerous and exciting. I even tried to start several nicknames on my own. I remember telling all of my friends to call me Buck, but never really caught on, and I grew up as just plain old Ron Hamilton. But all that changed when I went to the eye doctor for what I thought was going to be a routine eye checkup. The doctor looked into my right eye and everything checked out fine. But when he looked into my left eye, he found a little tiny speck, and he didn't know exactly what it was. So he sent me to Atlanta, Georgia, for testing over the next few months. Every time I went back to Atlanta, the test got a little more serious. Everything culminated when the doctor rolled me into the operating room and told me he was going to have to go inside my left eye to find out what was going on. He said if it were a popped blood vessel or something I'd inherited, I'd simply wake up with a sore, bloodshot left eye. But if it were cancer, when I woke up, my left eye would be gone. Well, it was a little suspenseful that day. And when I finally came to, Shelley told me that the doctor had taken out my left eye. It was completely gone. But we were both very aware that God's peace had come to take its place. I stayed in the hospital for about a week recovering, and when it came time to go home, they rolled me out the front door of the hospital. Well, I met a young boy being brought in by his mother. He pointed at me and yelled out, "Look, Mommy, there's a pirate." His mother jerked him in the hospital lobby and told him never to say anything like that again. And everywhere I went, kids called me a pirate. In fact, when I got back home to our home church the following Sunday morning, a little 5-year-old friend of mine came running down to the front and asked me, "Where have you been? What's going on? What in the world is that on your left eye?" Well, I told him, "It's called a pirate patch." His eyes got big, his mouth dropped open, and he said, "Are you a pirate?" I said, "Well, I guess I am now. You can call me Patch the Pirate." Well, he thought that was great stuff. He ran back and told a bunch of his little friends, and moments later, about 20 little kids came running down to the front of the church, yelling out, "Ahoy, Patch the Pirate!" And my childhood dream came true. I finally got my nickname, not quite the way I'd planned, but that was God's perfect plan. Well, the name stuck. And everywhere I went, kids began to call me Patch the Pirate. They also began to ask if we couldn't write some music for them. So I talked to my wife, Shelley, and my father-in-law, Dr. Garlock, and we came up with the idea of writing 16 songs, stringing them together with a storyline. Maybe I could be Patch the Pirate. I could also be Wally Whale if we did it early enough in the morning. Shelley had laryngitis, so we made her a seagull since she could just squeak and squawk anyway. And then we also had Oozy, Ozzy, and Ornery Oyster. Well, that was our first recording. It wasn't long before kids began to ask for another one. And parents began to say, "We're sick and tired of this one. Please give us another one." So for the last 25 years, we've done about one a year. And God has taken something that looked like it was going to be a tragedy in my life, losing my left eye to cancer, and has literally changed it into one of the greatest blessings of my life. When I got out of the hospital, I wanted to write a song to tell others how good God had been. So I sat down at our kitchen table with my Bible open to the book of Philippians and also spread out the cards that people had sent to be a blessing to me and began to weave together all these ideas into a song. And we called the song Rejoice in the Lord.
Savior instead.
years fled away. And I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each man.
We're getting ready to have our Bible study in just a minute. We always do a Bible study, and I'm going to be talking today about who can't learn the Bible. Did you know there's some people that can't learn the Bible the way God wants them to? Everyone can learn the Bible in the sense of the facts in the Bible, but I'm talking about how God wants you to learn the Bible. There are five people that can't learn the Bible. The good news is they can change and learn it, but the bad news is, if you're one of these five people, you just can't learn the Bible, even though everyone can learn the Bible. You'll see what I mean in a minute. So that's the hook. That's to get you to come back. Let's listen to one more song by Ron Hamilton. My favorite song he wrote and sang is, this is a choir version. It's by another man like Ben Eversom. He is singing, the lead singer. Ron is directing the choir. And this is called My Hope is Jesus, because that's what this program is. The Hour of Hope, reminding us of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So I'll be right back and we'll look at who cannot learn the Bible. This is Pastor Matthew, Hour of Hope, and I'm so glad you're with me. Be sure and check out apradio.org, and God bless you. Let's continue with My Hope is Jesus.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, we're talking about who cannot learn the Bible. You curious who can't learn the Bible? Well, let me explain what I'm talking about. First of all, what is the Bible? What is the Bible? And I hope you've enjoyed the music with Ron Hamilton. I've got some more music after we do our Bible study. So what is the Word of God, the Bible? 66 books, 27 in the New Testament, 39 in the Old Testament. Or 39 in the Old Testament. What's 3 times 9? 20, 27 in the New Testament. 66, 39, 27. Okay. So we're talking about the Bible. What is the Bible? Well, the Bible is God's Word to us. It's trustworthy. There's a couple reasons I know, other than I accept it as God's Word, but let me read you a verse real quick. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 20. Sorry, it's a crunkling, but you know I'm going through my Bible and you should have yours open. Hey, shout out to Vera, who regularly listens. I hope she's doing well. We have church on Sunday nights at 7:30 p.m. So 2 Peter 1:20. 1:20. Here's what it says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, meaning individuals don't just put it out there how they want it. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God moved them as they wrote them. Get their personality, their wonderful just individual aspects, but they were carried along by God's Word. And then the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Isn't that exciting? A couple things about the Bible. So people say, well, it's just written by man. And then you ask them, have you read it? Most of them say they haven't read it. But those that have, and want to tear it down, let me give you some reasons you can stand on the Bible. Other than you have its own testimony about itself, it's the Word of God. You have the internal evidence, 40-some authors over 1,400 years. None of it contradicts one theme, all these different book situations, but they don't contradict. Another reason, I wrote a little book about it called This is the Way, and I talk about that in that book, but I want to explain to you a few more reasons you can trust the archaeology evidence. It always confirms what's in the Bible. Pontius Pilate, they said that guy didn't exist. Guess what? They found it. Prophecy in the Bible, verses that predicted the future hundreds of years out to the T, like Cyrus and other things that they predicted. It's not random. Then the prophecy about Jesus. Prophecy about Jesus. I think translation is one of the greatest evidences to support the Bible. We think of the Bible sometimes like, how do you know? You played that game where you say something and then it goes through 10 or 12 people, comes out, you don't know. Well, and that's not how they translated the Bible. The Bible was translated as the Word of God. The people that translated it were meticulous in their system. And also, when we keep finding manuscripts or original documents from thousands of years ago, they support that the Bible we have today is the Word of God. Well, with that being said, I want to talk about those that cannot learn the Bible. The first group of people, so I'm going to give you 5 reasons people can't learn the Bible. Here's the first reason people can't learn the Bible. There are some people that do not have the Bible in their own language. So, in what I mean by that is there's literally some groups of people that do not have the Bible in their own language. The global population is estimated to be 8.12 billion people. Now, again, we don't know exactly because nobody's sitting there counting them, but that's the population. And there are approximately 7,396 languages, 7,396 known languages. So that tells us something. What we want to ask, how many Bibles are in people's language. So let me break this down. There are 756 full Bibles that represents about 6 billion people. There are 1,726 New Testaments, 1,274 Old Testament, and that means that there's at least 3,756 languages with at least some languages. That's 98% of all people, but that means some people do not have the Bible in their own language. And there's groups like Wycliffe that's trying to translate the Bible into all those languages so people can have them. Some of them are not verbal and they don't know how to read and write their language, so they have to actually, through oral, write that down. So the first people that do not have the ability to learn the Bible is those that don't have it. We need to send money. We need to help see translators raised up in the work that's going on. Thank God it goes really a lot faster with the use of computers today. When we lived in the country of Turkey over there in Asia and Europe, it's a country on two continents, the completed Bible was released in modern-day Turkish. In other words, it's a country of about that time, a little over 70 million people. They didn't have a whole Bible in their language. Well, as the Bible was released, the church, which was maybe 4,000, 7,000 out of 75 million, it really grew. It's still very small, but the point is when the Word of God came to these people, they started reading it and learning it. And you see that repeated over and over and over again because the Word of God is so powerful. So the first group of people that cannot learn the language are those that don't have the language. Next, those that are not saved. Someone that is not saved cannot learn the Word of God. Just going to say that. Now let me explain what I mean. There are people that can learn the Word of God. But I'm not talking about just learning the facts of the Bible, the stories about. I'm talking about that can learn it in a way that God wants you to learn it, where it has power and impacts your life. I quoted that verse, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, the truths of scripture, like the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is God. Jesus died for our sins. He physically rose from the dead. He is visually going to return. That is doctrine. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profit for doctrine, for reproof. It corrects us. It gets on us when we're out of what God has told us to do. For correction, then it corrects us. And instruction in righteousness to teach us what's right, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It trains us, helps us to be all that God wants us to be. If you're not saved, you cannot learn the Bible, how God wants you to learn the Bible, because that are spiritual works. When you are saved, this also means something important point about why you can learn the Bible. That'll be another program. But Ephesians 1:13 says this, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you believed, you got the Holy Spirit. It's not something you needed to get again, or you get a second. You can be filled with the Spirit, but the idea of getting the Holy Spirit, you need more of the Holy Spirit, you need some special goofy experience. No. It says, when you believed, you had the Spirit of promise. And why is that relevant to learning the Bible? Because 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. You could study all day, and if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to learn the Bible the way God wants you to learn the Bible. But what the Holy Spirit does, one of the many things it does, is it allows us to know the things that He's freely given us, the Word of God. So that brings back to the point, if you believe in Christ as your Savior, you're genuinely saved, you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, but if you're not, you don't, and you cannot learn the Bible the way God wants you to learn the Bible. So we have, if you don't have the Bible in your own language, and obviously everybody listening to me does, because we're talking English right now, and there's the English Bible. Number two, if you're not saved, let's look at number three. This point is a key reason I think sometimes we don't really learn the Bible. We're not able to. We'll have things that are more of a priority than God and His priority, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But your traditions, and I'd call that your religion. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and here's what He says. They had twisted the Word of God by their commands, or they tried to make it how they wanted it, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things ye do. He says the Word of God has no effect because of your traditions. And many times we can't learn the Word of God because we're so holding to our religious convictions or traditions that are just void of power. He says, if you want the Word of God, so you have a decision, you can hold to your dead religion, you can hold to your dead tradition that seems so powerful in your life, or you can release it and you can get the Word of God. It's very important to catch that, because if you're not willing to give up your tradition, your religion, you'll never learn the Word of God, how God wants you to. Because He says, you making the Word of God of none effect. It has power. It has effect. It's called the sword. In other words, it's our offensive weapon. But you don't, because your traditions. So we have, you don't have the Bible in your own language, you can't learn the Word of God. You're not saved, you can't learn the Word of God or the Bible. Number three, you love your traditions, and you will not be able to learn the Word of God. The next one is you're unwilling to do it for correct reasons. In other words, your objective in learning the Bible is not for correct reasons that God gives you. I mean, it's fine to learn the Bible, but we need to do it how God wants us to. What is the goal? And let me give you a couple of verses of what I'm talking about. First verse I want to talk about is 1 Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So knowledge, in other words, pride, puffs us up, but love encourages us. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Here's the thing. A lot of times we'll come here to push our pride. Oh, I know that. And you'll hold it so tight because it makes you feel good about your intellect. And he says that puffs up. But love are the true reason to know it. The second reason about not doing it the right way, second verse, is John 5, 39 and 40. Jesus is talking to the religious leaders again. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. We're not willing to put the focus on the authority of Jesus Christ. So it's not just that the scriptures talk about Jesus, or the whole point of it is Jesus, but there's a sense of you reading it, testifying about God and Jesus, who is God, and you're not willing to come to me. You're not willing to submit your life to me. And so you won't really be able to learn the Bible, how God wants you to, because the Bible's design, it brings you into a relationship with Christ, and you submit your life to Christ within the context of the Word of God. But he said, but you're not willing to do that. And a lot of us will never be able to learn the Bible because we won't submit our life to Jesus Christ. The last reason someone cannot understand the Bible is they have a hard heart, or they're not obeying it. You're not willing to do what it says. Here's what Hebrews chapter 3, 8 through 13 says. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. He's talking about when the Jewish nation was in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts. They all died there, except for Caleb and Joshua. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So he's saying, and then 13 says, but exhort one another daily, which is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. He's talking about hardening your heart, having an unbelief, and then you turn away from the living God. You will not be able to learn the Bible. In other words, you could start, but as Paul told Galatians, what cut in on you, if you quit obeying and working at it, you're not going to be able to learn the Word of God. This isn't like one time, okay, boom. No, it's you keep working your heart up, diligently keeping your heart. So there's five reasons a person cannot learn the Bible. Number one, they don't have the Bible in their own language. We need to pray that more people get the Bible in their own language. Number two, they're not saved. That means they don't have the Holy Spirit to help them learn the Bible. Number three, they love their traditions, their religion. They learn those things. Jesus said it makes it no effect. Number four, they're not doing it for correct reasons. They're doing it for pride, not to find Christ and to come under him. And the last point is they have a hard heart. They're not willing to obey it. Those will keep us all. Any of those reasons will keep you. You can't learn the Bible the way God wants you. Next week, we'll talk about who can learn the Bible. We're going to switch it now. We've looked at who cannot. Now we're going to look at who can. I pray you're saved, and I pray you're growing in your relationship with God. Let's continue with a little more music from the incredible minister, Ron Hamilton. What I'm going to do now is play a couple songs from their kids' programs from Patch the Pirate. I mentioned the songs we played have been, of course, adults singing, but these audio dramas, you can watch them on YouTube and others. You can listen to them. I think some of them are cartoons, but they're powerful and they really communicate a message. But let's listen to a couple of the ones, CDs, the audios for kids of Patch the Pirate.
Lip will get you if you start to pout. to bed.
In fact, you can't be around very long before you catch it, too.
Oh, no. Catch what? Go, 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 go! The gratitude attitude.
Some people grumble and dream of having more.
They want a new toy. They want the dog that lives next door.
If you're unhappy and everything seems wrong, you need to learn this happy song.
Just catch the gratitude attitude, give thanks in everything. Catch the gratitude attitude, lift your voice and sing. Always thank the Lord each day for everything He brings your way. Catch the gratitude attitude.
It is catching. I've got this strange feeling of gratefulness coming over me.
You may not have much. Your supper may be cold.
You may be gloomy because your clothes are 10 years old.
Don't be dejected if you don't have a lot. Give thanks to God for all you've got.
Just catch the gratitude attitude, give thanks in everything. Catch the gratitude attitude, lift your voice and sing. Always thank the Lord each day for everything He brings your way. Catch the gratitude attitude,
catch it every,
catch it every,
catch it every day.
Those are a lot of fun, and those are just a small sample of so many audio adventures they made over the years. I believe it's since the 90s or 80s. About every year, they have a different Patch the Pirate, and many of those you can listen to on YouTube, and they have some that are cartoons now, I believe. So get to know Ron Hamilton, Patch the Pirate. Of course, he passed away a couple years ago. His wife, Shelley, I'm looking for. I'm going to get to interview her on my YouTube channel. I'm really excited. I have a couple more songs by him because he just is so powerful in his lyrics and how he ministers to us about faith and having trust in Jesus and the powerful things that Christ Jesus does. Let's listen to a few more songs as they take us out. this wonderful episode of Hour of Hope. I pray that you have been encouraged with remembering the hope we have in Jesus Christ. I hope you're not one of those people who cannot learn the Bible, because you can always come to know Christ. You can repent and you can learn. If you've got a hard heart, repent. It'll become soft and get back on and do it for the right reasons, to know Christ and to submit to Him so He'll help you be all that you can be. I want to close with leading you in a prayer. If you're that person who's listening that does not know Christ and wants to repent, pray with me right now. Say, Lord, I believe you are God. I believe you are worthy. You died for me, rose from the dead, and I want to get to know you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I want to trust you for salvation. Amen. Would you email me if you made a decision today for God? M-A-T-H-E-W-V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N. It's Pastor Matthew Broman. And again, that email is M-A-T-H-E-W-V as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N @gmail.com. Thank you. And I hope that you are encouraged. Let's finish out with Ron Hamilton, a.k.a. Patch the Pirate. And remember, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. Wanted to connect with Ron Hamilton, find out more about his music, order from that ministry. It's MajestyMusic.com.
When I enter heaven's glory,
see you next Sunday.
And
bye.
I see my Savior's face, I will offer Him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one, in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you, I could hear His voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw His care, I could see His love was there, and I saw Jesus in you. When I stand before my Father to receive my life's reward, and my soul is bathed in God's eternal day, this race on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you, I could hear His voice in the words you said, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw His care, I could see His love was there, you were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. And I saw Jesus in you.
I wandered through this world in selfishness and pride. The storms of life surrounded me, I had no place to hide. Until I heard the news, a refuge strong and sure was waiting then to welcome me and keep me there secure. You are my refuge, I hide in you. You are the hope I'm running to. Your words are faithful, your promise true. Clouds may fill the sky, but still I see the sun. God's love shines down upon His child, the overshadowed one. No matter what I feel, His promises are true, and I can trust Him even when the storm He takes me through.